Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in four great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Calling It with Ivan Yates and Sean Defoe.
A News Talk original podcast.
Hello and welcome to the aftermath of Calling It the presidential election. I'm Sean Defoe.
And I'm Ivan Yates.
And as predicted by the two of us, Catherine Connolly, she is the outright winner of this campaign, and it is looking like one hell of a win. So we are recording this at about 11 minutes past five on County. 31 of the 43 constituencies reporting, and it is a total landslide. 64.5% of first preference votes for Catherine Connolly, 28% for Heather Humphreys, 7% for Jim Gavin. But one of the massive stories, and it will have crystallised into a final figure by the time most of you are listening to this, is the number of spoiled votes across the country, running around 13% as we're recording. 155,000 invalid ballot papers. So, Ivan, how do you feel about having won Heather Humphreys the election?
Well, I hope I'll be put on the Council of State, but I'm not holding my breath.
Are you a communist?
So I've turned red at this stage of my life. I've done everything else. So, no, I actually think that, you know, as we've said, the pivotal moment was the 5th of October when Jim Gavin walked off the pitch injured, and it just really wasn't a contest after that. It was a case of what the margin would be. Subsequently, the fact that there were two people increased the resentment about the nomination process and the lack of choice. And I think that has led to the very high spoiled votes. And spoiled votes used to be 1 or 2% max.
It was 1.2% in the last presidential, 18,000 total. We're now heading for 200,000 plus.
So we have a new phenomenon, and this comes from the toxicity of Irish politics, which is there's actually a constituency for it. And to go to the trouble of going to the ballot box, a booth, and a polling booth, and actually registering a protest, putting all sorts of graffiti on it, all sorts of X's on it, and this has become a vehicle for protest. So this is actually not a statement of apathy for a lot of the people, because I think the turnout, you know, it must be remembered, 50% of people didn't vote, and that was the first objection. And I know people who said to me, Ivan, I've never not voted in an election. On this time, I'm deliberately not going to vote. So this wasn't that they couldn't be arsed to go vote on a Friday of a bank holiday weekend. This was saying, I'm deliberately saying for the first time, I'm not voting.
And it looks as though, as we're speaking anyway, we don't know what the final figure is, but 45% turnout, which is actually higher than 2018, which is interesting. And but the thing I can't really, and it might take a job of work to get the head wrapped around this, is this is not a homogenous spoiled vote. Like, if you look at some of the things that were written, you know, some people put X's all the way through, get this corrupt government out, some people referring to that alleged sexual assault in near Sagart last week, writing she was only 10, no democracy, traitors. You've all that sort of stuff.
Oh, anti-migrant
then,
would be
anti-migrant is up there, yeah. IPAS centres comments, but then you have people who wrote Maria Steen handbag, Donald Trump, Brad Pitt, Santa, Dust of the Turkey, Bosco. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very, one group is very angry and maybe has a legitimate reason for that anger. Yeah. Another group feels disenfranchised.
But there was a hashtag spoil the vote campaign.
There was.
And like, that would, like, you know, Declan Ganley, those people, you know, really worked hard to get a spoil the vote. And, you know, in some constituencies, spoil the vote beat Heather Humphreys. They were second. So
I saw someone saying that in Dublin North West, it nearly beat Catherine Connolly, or perhaps did beat Catherine Connolly on the tallies. And so the leading candidate was spoil your vote.
But so, nearly a record low turnout, a record spoiled vote, and a record win. For Catherine Connolly, of over 60%, the highest ever. I think 55 was the highest ever before.
56.2, yeah. I think, was De Valera's well first election. And so then last, she's not only percentage, but in terms of sheer volume of votes, she's going to beat Michael D too.
What do those three things have in common? So, kick in the groin for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Kick in the arse for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. And when you're down, kick him again. So basically, that's what those three have in common. And essentially, these were different manifestations of saying, I ain't happy with this government, who, you know, within 12 months, got 45% of the vote. And so therefore, I think there will be, because what motivates a TD and say, could I be next in terms of my own seat? And I think the fallout of this election will actually not be tension between Catherine Connolly in the park and the government, although I can see in the area of travel that might be an issue. But I think, you know, I think she rode back on a lot of things in the last week, saying, these are my views, you may not agree with me, but as president, I'm in a different position, like I was last Count Corla, and therefore I won't behave as if I'm an opposition backbencher. And so I thought she'd create a little bit of space for her, and I would accept, in her expectance speech, she will go further than that.
Maybe, because she has something that people liked about her, and it's been commented a lot today that Heather Humphreys' attacks seemed inauthentic, because we know Heather Humphreys is quite a nice person, she was always like that, whereas Catherine Connolly, even when she was criticised, didn't do the usual politician thing of running a mile away from that issue. She said, no, that's my view, have a go at me if you like, it's my well-held life.
She didn't resile from anything.
No.
But I have to say that I think we have to mention the elephant in the room. So when people were faced this week with this down to two, I actually think people, and I know people who were amenable to voting for Fine Gael candidate, amenable voting for a government candidate, but just said, I'm looking at these two people, it's not really a highly political office, and I think that Catherine is more articulate, and what I want in my president is someone who on the international level would just speak well, and I think, you know, she relied on kind of stock phrases, stepping up to the plate, but she was cack-handed in some of the defences. And in the hurly-burly of debate, what actually came out is, she ain't done a lot of this before. And I think that in Fine Gael's due diligence, that they didn't really look, how will she measure up in debate? We know she's a warm person, so she was good on the stump, but a disaster in the studio.
Yeah, and couldn't get that communication part across. So we're going to get into the fallout for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in a minute, but to give Catherine Connolly her kudos and this left alliance that has come together, and you hear Paul Murphy this morning talking about how he wants a summit of the left early in the new year to sort of decide where they go from here. Do you think they can hold this all together, or when that unifying one person at the top is gone and, say, the by-election comes along or the general election in a few years' time, is that going to all fall apart as they all fight each other for votes?
So I spent a very good source in Labour, and I have a very friendly relationship with one of the Soc Dem TDs. And so, first of all, in terms of retracing their steps. So Catherine, on her first nomination outside of Leinster House, the Soc Dems were the first to commit to her. Eileen Flynn, Brian Stanley, and another group of independents. But basically, they were the first. They did that because they wanted to gazump Labour into not having the numbers of doing their own. And so once Labour came on board, Labour's biggest input was the postering, because posters take 6 weeks to organise. So they had their posters up on the 24th of September. Sinn Féin only joined the party on the 20th of September. Where Sinn Féin added was on the canvas and the heft in terms of on the streets, and particularly in Dublin. They got the surprise of the turnout was the Dublin turnout was actually not too bad. And so therefore, and the urban turnout, and I think Sinn Féin got their vote out, because we saw in the local elections they're down to 12%. So you can see how, and again, Sinn Féin were looking at their options. So there was a domino effect of, well, what options do they really have now that Catherine's in the field? And so the early adopter of... I give the Soc Dems the most credit.
Right.
They had most flexibility. I think Labour had a simple choice. And Ivana realised this. Either you sit on your hands for this and support nobody, or support Catherine, because they weren't going to get their own candidate, because there was enough of the nomination thing had been sucked into, you know what I mean, that they into nominating Catherine. So I think that's very interesting. Also, there were really savvy people, and so Beavan O'Connor is generally regarded parliamentary assistant to Catherine since 2016 as the adult in the room, dealt with the fragilities of the relationship and of disparate people. Like, I don't think they were in favour of the lawsuit of defamation by Paul Murphy against Heather Humphreys. Things like that, she was able to anticipate and deal with issues and make sure that Catherine got all the limelight, and Catherine wasn't, you know, even where they might have had an issue over Hamas or something like that, you know what I mean? That, you know, well, I wouldn't have quite put it like that in terms of Germany's industrial military complex, that just stay off the pitch and just let Catherine be Catherine, right, and all that. So they deserve. The other person who I heard deserves enormous credit is Aoife Moore. I knew her as a journo. Mm. One of you guys, you know my feeling about journos.
Oh, I do.
But anyway, don't get me started. But the point is this. She actually was in charge of the comms side of it, and she did a very good job. This is according to other people. Mm. So there were different people, like Owen O'Brien and Matt Carty were there. Jennifer Whitmore was the Sock Dems liaison person, and that kept all the money was also a serious issue. Some TDs put up their own money early in play, $2,000 here, $2,000 there, the maximum amount. Also, they loaned money to the campaign, the parties loan money, because there are strict rules about some of this kind of thing. So all hands were to the pump. So I said to these guys, I said, well, is this the future? You know, a rainbow of the left has now emerged over the horizon. What, they said? Sure, Monday we'll be back to pumping our own brand. And so that's the way it is, I think. Like, and if you actually think about that, like, the Sock Dems are a fairly new party. Of course they're going to be pushing the Sock Dems. Of course Sinn Féin are going to be pushing the Sinn Féin. So whether in Galway West by-election, they coalesce. And it's interesting, the Galway West by-election, mm-hmm. because the two names that are ready-made, if there were six seats, because this is bringing it back to your real calling it days, the sixth person in a five-seater of Galway West would have been Sean Kine, and the next one would have been Noel Thomas. So I would say that they are two ready-made candidates, you know, with recency bias. I don't think Fianna Fáil run Gráinne, Seoighe, and so therefore, I don't know if you remember, in the last Dáil, the only election was the Dublin South East. And what happened there? The incumbent Fianna Fáil TD, Jim O'Callaghan, really wasn't that concerned to have a running mate. Do you understand? So you take Mairead Farrell. Or do I really want? Like Mark Ward did, you know, become the running mate and got elected and got re-elected. Basically, it's like you're a parish priest, and next thing this curate wants to be a parish priest beside you. And do you really want that? Two into one doesn't go. So basically, I think that Noel and Hildegard won't be bursting a blood vessel to get Sean Kine elected.
No,
so those dynamics will all come into play.
They will be, and they'll be interesting. And there was a very strong Sock Dem performance there. I think her name was Aveline Sheikh, that I can't actually remember.
Yeah, and Pauline O'Reilly ran for the Greens there, but she's not got a proper job.
You should say, and you might have guessed by the echo in here, and I forgot to say it at the start, that we are in Dublin Castle.
I feel so at home here. All my forebears,
everything is gilded,
every lord
gold.
And baron and duke is all around me here. I feel right at home.
It very suits you. It's very Trump, isn't it? Like everything gone in gold.
Yeah. No kings here. There's a king here.
There's one king here. He's on the opposite side of the mic to me. Or so he likes to think, at least. We are next to the room in which you are going to see Catherine Connolly announced, coronated, to borrow the term, in a couple of hours' time, and where a news talk is broadcasting live from. And it's all very, you know, very decadent.
That's quite
very
regal.
Regal.
It's a historic moment in the state, our 10th president. And you know, it has to be said, when all the sort of din and fury is over, she was the most resilient candidate. She deserves this because of the way she ran the best digital campaign, and she ran the best postering campaign, and she ran the best canvassing campaign. And basically, there is no box she didn't tick in terms of being a legitimate president, being a deserving president.
Now that we have done all that praise and been very respectful, tear the arse out of Fine Gael, what did they get wrong? Well, and don't say everything, because say everything.
No, I would say this. So I'm always rooting around in the undergrowth of parliamentary parties and apparatchiks to find out, well, what's going to be the reaction to this. So I spent talking to my Sock Dem and Labour friends, but also talking to Fine Gael, TDs and others. And I'm getting the sense, and I got this and I mentioned it to you, that they don't feel that Simon Harris went out on a limb or put his reputation on the line for Heather Humphreys. It was, if Catherine, if Mairead McGuinness had imploded as on the ballot paper, he would have taken some flack. So I'm not feeling the heat on him. Like, his whole brand is in a little bit of trouble, but I don't think he's in there.
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of people at the same time have criticised him for pushing Heather Humphreys over Sean Kelly and not allowing contest.
You know what the real story there is, which is that as an MEP, when you go before the electorate, you have to set out one, two and three substitutes. The number one substitute for Sean Kelly, if he became president, and was Martin Conway. Senator Martin Conway had a personal difficulty in relation to being found by Gardaí intoxicated, and really that the trauma
excommunicated by the partisans.
So the trauma of him being an MEP, if Sean Kelly got elected, was almost a disqualifying factor. Mm-hmm. And put it like this, I don't think that's commonly known, but put it like this, it'll be commonly repeated now.
Now that you've said it.
No, from the point of view of that, would put it like this, why did he not get the TDs to get on the ballot paper within the Fine Gael process? What the TDs are saying to me is this: Simon Harris missed a complete trick when Leo took over to do a purge of 51 Upper Mount Street, which is the Fine Gael head office. And there is a feeling that, and if you know, John Carroll, Terry Murphy, and a few people in that are there a while. And I think, you know, the old number one rule of politics, if you're going down, have one body between you and the door, someone to throw under the bus. So I see that those are potential people. So he's going to announce a review of headquarters. We need to professionalize and modernize and get social media and the press office as well. And I can see definitely, you know, because you've got to have a fall guy in all these situations. So I think they're being ponied up for that.
And does that come with more weight because he was seen as the TikTok Taoiseach and the fella who was going to bring them into this new social media age, and then they got totally, had circles run round them by the Connolly campaign?
Yeah, well certainly, as we found with the whole smearing the bejesus thing, that was really clever. They, like, for 5 days, you know, the violence of his language and all this stuff from Catherine, it was all orchestrated, which was on the basis of, oh, anyone criticised her, that's part of the smear campaign. You know what I mean? They put this shield up.
Because I know you said on this podcast that you don't think you influenced the election. You absolutely did with that. You did, though.
You're up your own ass at this stage.
Well, we know that. I learned it from you, in fairness. But you opened the door that every single thing Catherine Connolly was said about Catherine Connolly or questioned to her became the smear campaign because Ivan Yates said it.
Well, apparently, someone just told me now here in Dublin Castle that when Matt did her interview with Heather, said, be sure to give that young fella Yates a clip around the ear. So, but look, the point is this, I'm well able to suck up a bit of flack. That doesn't bother me. But the truth is that it was a very minor sideshow in the overall of the anti-government feeling from the budget, the complete implosion of Jim Gavin and Fianna Fáil and so on. And that's where this story now goes. So the situation is this, logistically. There are 48 TDs in the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party. The rules for a no-confidence vote are very clear. 12 people, only TDs vote, only in the 48, one quarter of that must put their name on a no-confidence motion. So, can they do that, those who are minded? Will it be front-loaded by a candidate? So, basically, I think, as we discussed, he's not going to lead Fianna Fáil into the next general election. Will he be given the time to get through the EU presidency? So I see a period of specific danger from November, with the by-election, bad result, the report coming from the committee of the... And what I hear there is really interesting. The person who apparently is the, you know, who first contacted Jim, who did it, his local TD is Jack Chambers, and Jack Chambers is being lined up to be the fall guy for that. You have to have someone. Yeah. And so basically...
Sacrifice,
you know, he's more expendable than Sean Dorgan, maybe. You see, so the point is this, you know, you've got
to... talk about a Fine Gael party HQ clearance, there's a few people saying there needs to be a Fianna Fáil.
Well, put it like that. Yeah, I hear all that. But so... And sorry, that is an option for Micheál to have a fall guy himself. But basically, The situation is that there are three people who are potential winners who could be Taoiseach by Christmas, which is a big prize.
By Christmas?
Yeah, no, by Christmas.
If they wanted it.
And if the mood was such, there's huge anger, particularly in Cork amongst Fianna Fáil people. They feel humiliated by this whole thing. Billy Keller didn't spare the rod at all this afternoon in a TV interview. So basically, they are Derek O'Leary, Dara O'Brien and Jim O'Callaghan, right? Now, they'll be watching each other like already they're having cups of coffee and having discussions and saying, and what do you think, Sean? Do you know what I mean? And what do you think? And just to let you know, like, this is exactly what Leo did to Enda, and this is exactly what Simon Harris did. He'd had those conversations. What do you think, Sean? You know what I mean? In other words, well, I'm kind of interested in this myself and all this kind of thing. So, now, I think once you go past January, you're too close to the EU presidency. Like, don't hit me with the baby in my arms, please. You know what I mean? We got the whole of Europe now, 450 people, million people hanging out of this. You can't possibly, decorum.
Is this the first time I'm really hearing a push by Christmas? What percentage would you put it at that it'll happen?
Put it like this. I even heard something worse. That the appetite to resist this mightn't be as strong as one would have anticipated. However, someone dissuaded me of that because some of the people who might lose their jobs are very minded to fight this. So, put it like this, certainly once the genie comes out of the bottle, if 12 people do, and I'm not saying they have 12 at the moment, but certainly I think they have 8. And the bottom line is this, that this is high stakes poker.
Yeah.
But put it like this, so, it is circumstantial, right? In terms of what will flip this, that someone will get the match to strike. I would think if there was a poll that had Fianna Fáil 15-16%, that would be it.
Right.
And if it was a Red Sea poll, and you see, there was two polls done during the week, we alluded to, they were omnibus polls, State of the Parties was included. So a lot of people are going to watch those polls. So a very, very, very worrying times. Then there's the report, which, you know, interesting people on that committee, Tom Brabison and a few others. So I really think for those people and for Jim O'Callaghan, you're at a point of it's now or never. You know what I mean? Because you never know. If you leave this till the first quarter of 2027, sure, there could be someone, you know, in a prison. You know, there could be a disaster in policing. And, you know, the Minister for Justice that's real Angola territory.
Yeah.
He could be a victim of circumstances.
It's a volatile brief, all right. So to wrap up calling it the presidential election, if you were to take your one, when you look back in 5 years' time or whatever, we're talking about the presidency again, what's the first thing to come to the forehead?
First memo to self is this. Deep down, the major government power brokers don't take the presidency that seriously. It's a second order of election. Sure, what about it if we lose? Now, that is thin ice if you get into, you know, other agendas and so on. But the truth of it is, if this was a proper job, not only would Micheál have gone for it, not only would Mary Lou have gone for it, it is seen as a titular job. You know what I mean? It's seen as having tea and crumpets with another ambassador from, you know, UAE. And you know what I mean? And really, it's a long term of 7 years, and the Auris is a pretty dreary building. What I get from this is the campaign is so full of bile that people who've given the state some service won't put themselves through it. And secondly, people would rather be a minister than be president.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who I've been speaking to over the last.
So each time,
sure, because
we get stuck into the campaign,
we
it's
do,
so important.
We do.
It's a really important job. You know what? It's not that important a job.
Well, to take a step on that, I suppose on that note, congratulations to Catherine Connolly.
Yeah, no, and I put it like this: I think she'll be fine. I think she'll be fine. And you know what? The other abiding take is, if you're going to run for public office again, learn to do your keepy-uppies, because there's the keepy-uppies what won it.
be sporty. Apparently, she is quite a marathon runner as well.
Oh,
or triathlon,
yeah, and the set dancing.
I didn't realize.
And she swam 20 lengths this morning in Salthill Pool. Like, God damn it, she should go for a triathlon. Why is she getting the train up to?
She can do triathlons.
No, she should be cycling from Galway to here.
She can certainly cycle from the Oars to government buildings whenever she's summoned. Anyway, as we're going recording the end of this podcast, Catherine Connolly going to rump home on the first count, and I suppose we'll maybe see in four years' time for locals and Europeans.
I'll be in the Moyne Cemetery at that stage. But the point is this: that it is significant that whether you found this a snorefest or whatever, there will not be a national election again until June 2029. Mm-hmm. That's a long, long way. And so therefore, the kind of giddiness of all the left people, like, it's just too far away from the general election to extrapolate either positively or negatively for the future of the left. It's just too early.
Yeah, a week's a long time in politics, and 4 years is a hell of a long time. Ivan Yates, my thanks, pleasure
as always. And, like, the only reason I did this, because I love slagging you and working with you, and Trish, our producer, thank you very much.
And thank you for committing to taking me on your free travel card now whenever I need to go down to Scorthy.
You need a carer.
It won't be me. It has been me for 4 weeks, and that's enough. That has been Calling It with myself, Sean Defoe, and Ivan Yates, produced by Trish Laverty, researched by Micheál O'Connell. Inauguration Day is the November the 11th. We will be back here in Dublin Castle bringing you all the coverage of that, and we will have the by-election after that in the Galway West constituency to fill Catherine Connolly's seat. If the government's run its course, as I said, it could be quite a while before we're back into the Calling It podcast, but stranger things have happened, and News Talk do like punishing me with Ivan's presence. So, till then, take care.
Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in 4 great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.